Now, focus your attention this way for these few minutes. There are three great loves in the heart of God. The first of these loves is holiness. Don't miss it now. The first of these loves is holiness. If there's anything that God loves, it's holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Now, why does it say thrice that God is holy? Because God is a threefold being. He's God the Father, He's God the Son, He's God the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, holy is the Father, holy is the Son, and holy is the Spirit. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What does it mean? It means that our Almighty God is a threefold creature, and His name is called Holy, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. 41 times in the Word of God, our God is called the Most Holy. 20 times, He is called the Holy One. 31 times, He is called the Holy One of Israel. And 24 times in the Bible, it has this statement, holy is His name. The first love of God is holiness. Secondly, the second of God's three great loves is justice. God loves justice. Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, He's called the Just One. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 52, God is called the Just One. Acts chapter 22 and verse 14, God is called the Just One. In Isaiah 50 and verse 7, I love this statement. It says, the Lord is the habitation of justice. And then in Job 8:3, we read a while ago, doth God pervert judgment? Doth the Almighty pervert justice? All right, look at me now. God's first great love is what? You tell me. Holiness. Everybody say it. Is what? Holiness. God's second great love is what? Justice. All right? Now then, the third great love of God, and this is the good one, the third great love of God is man. These are God's three great loves. Now, I'm not talking now about God the Father's three great loves. I'm talking about God the Trinity's three great loves. Of course, there's no love to compare with the love the Father has for the Son, and the love the Father has for the Spirit, and the love the Son has for the Father, and the love the Son has for the Spirit, and the love the Spirit has for the Father, and the love the Spirit has for the Son. But I'm talking about God as a Godhead now, three personalities in one Godhead. Then I'm saying that the great love of that God is first, holiness, second, justice, and third, man. Now follow me carefully. All three of these walked with God in beautiful harmony in the Garden of Eden. When God made man and God fellowshiped with man in the Garden of Eden, God had with Him His three great loves. He had holiness, He had justice, and He had man. But something tragic happened. Man threw a monkey wrench in that beautiful fellowship that God had with His three great loves. Man sinned. You see, God gave man a will because God wanted man to be able to choose to love God. God did not want some robots forced to love us. God wanted us to have a will that we may choose to love Him. Now follow me carefully. God's first great love is what? Say it. Everybody say it. Say it. Everybody. Holiness. God's second great love is what? Justice. And God's third great love is what? Man. And these four, God, holiness, justice, and man, had blessed and marvelous fellowship in the Garden of Eden until man sinned. Now follow me carefully for the next few minutes. For here is the core of the message and the eye of the message. Now God is faced with a dilemma. Here is His love, holiness,
And here is his love, justice, and here is his love, man. But man, one of God's three great loves, has sinned. Now, God has a dilemma. He cannot have all three. God cannot have man, since he sinned, and justice, and holiness. For God had said, the Word of God had said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely what? Die. And the wages of sin is what? And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And so God had promised a condemnation on sin, and that condemnation was separation from God. Now, hear me again. We have God's first great love, which is holiness, and God's second great love, which is justice, and God's third great love, which is man. But man is sin. Now, God can no longer have all three. God, if sin goes unpunished, and God receives man back without sin being punished, then God loses justice. For justice requires punishment for sin. Did you hear me? I said justice requires punishment for sin. So if God were to say to Adam and Eve, come on back, all is forgiven, come on back, then God would not receive punishment for sin, and God would lose his justice. And if God loses his justice, then God loses his holiness. For if God is not just, God is not holy. Now, God has one choice of two. God can let lose man and retain holiness and justice, or God can receive man back and lose his holiness and his justice. So God chose to keep holiness and justice and lose man. That's why God put cherubim on the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. God put a cherubim there and with a flaming sword. And that flaming sword was going round and round all the time. Now, why was that flaming sword there? To keep Adam and Eve from getting back to the tree of life. For if Adam and Eve had gotten back to the tree of life, they would have lived forever had they eaten of that tree, and God would not have had his justice satisfied, and God would not be holy. Now, you listen to me. That's why nobody can get saved, because they turn over a new leaf. Because turning over a new leaf does not satisfy the justice of God. And if God is not just, God is not holy. If God is not holy, God is not God. And so the very existence of the Godhead is dependent. A person walks down the aisle in a church this morning, and he says, I'm going to do better. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to live right. I'm going to quit my drinking. I'm going to quit my gambling. I'm going to quit my profane life. I'm going to quit my cursing. And turns over a new leaf. And if God said, okay, come on back, then God's justice would not have been satisfied, because payment for sin would not have been made, and God would have lost his justice. And if he loses, he who is not just is not holy, because being unjust is the epitome of sin. And so if God loses his justice, he loses his holiness. And if God let one sinner get to heaven by turning over a new leaf, God would not be God, and God would not be just. That's why a person that walks down the aisle and says, I want to get baptized, and he's baptized, and he's being baptized in order that it may help save him, that's why he could not be saved. If God saved one person because he was baptized, God would not be just, hence God would not be holy, hence God would not be God. If one person came down the aisle and trusted the church, and if God let a person come to himself and let him back to fellowship with his God because he belonged to the church, then God's justice would not have been satisfied. And if God is not just, God is not holy. If God is not holy, God is not God. There's more to it than being a Baptist and say, well, we Baptists believe in the insecurity of the believer and salvation by grace through faith. There's more to it than that, brother. There's not the Baptist church at stake. There is the deity of God at stake. For if God lets one sinner come to himself apart from the penalty for sin being paid, then God is no longer God, and God has lost his justice, he's lost his holiness, and he's lost his deity. Now, God keeps his justice, and God keeps his holiness, but God loses man. Now, hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. In the Garden of Eden, blessed fellowship the justice of God, the wholeness of God, and man. Man sinned. He left God. God turned his back on man because God had to turn his back on man. In order for God to retain his deity, he had to be just. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. But you say, Brother Hiles, we just don't see it that way. That we believe you can take the Holy Eucharist and go to heaven. You can eat the Holy Cow and not go to heaven, buddy, because you're going to have God's justice satisfied. And God, though He loves you, God would... Listen, if God in heaven let one person get back to Himself without the sin debt being paid, then God would not be God, and the earth would melt, and the sun would melt the earth, and the moon would fall from its lofty position, and the stars would fall from the sky, and the universe would crumble, and there'd be no universe, and no God. Listen, it's more to it than Baptist doctrine. It is the very doctrine of the existence of the Godhead. So God says, I cannot let man back if he decides to do better, because man is sin. So God says, I love man. I don't want to. I want him back. I want him back. But if I take him back at the expense of justice, then I've lost justice. By taking back at the expense of justice, I've lost holiness. If I've lost justice and holiness, I've lost my deity and I've lost man. So God chose to have turn his back on man, and though his back was turned on man, he nevertheless loved man. And God said, there's got to be some way where I can take man back and still keep justice and still keep holiness. Now listen carefully. God the Son stepped forward in the foreordinate counsel of eternity. And God the Son said, Father, let me make a suggestion. Let me go to earth. Let me become a man. Let me be born of a virgin. Let me live a perfect life. Let me fulfill the law. Let me become righteousness and never sin. Let me then go to a cross and let me take all the sins of all mankind and place them upon myself and charge them to my name. And then let me die on the cross, and then you turn your back on me and you accept my payment as the payment in full for the sins of man. And then I'll be buried. And I'll die, be buried, and I'll rise after 3 days and 3 nights. And then, Father, man's sin will be paid for. And you then can receive man back without losing justice. And hence, without losing holiness. Oh, let me tell you something. We need to realize the bigness and the greatness of our great salvation. I mean, our salvation is based on God being God. And God cannot be God if He forgives one sin because a fellow goes to a confessional booth and asks a priest to forgive him. If God would forgive one sin because the Pope absolved the sin, God would not be God. Why? Because that sin's got to be paid for. Well, you say, wait a minute now, the priest is paying for that sin, but the priest's got his own sins to worry about. There must be somebody who does not sin. Somebody must pay the debt who owes not the debt. Somebody must pay the price who doesn't owe the price. And there's only one who's never sinned, and that's God Himself. And so God Himself came to earth, was born of a virgin, became a man, God incarnate, and God in the flesh, lived 33 years. He never said a word He should not have said. He never thought a thought He should not have thought. He never trod a path He should not have trodden. He never had a motive He should not have had. He never saw that which was sin to save. No sin entered into Him. And even His bitterest enemies said, surely this was the Son of God. And the one that guarded Him said, so truly I find no fault in Him. I'm saying that Jesus never sinned. And so He who never sinned went to Calvary. And He paid the penalty for sin. But He did not have to pay the penalty for His own sin. And so he was paying the penalty for your sin and my sin. Away with church joining for salvation. That does not satisfy the justice of God. Away with baptismal regeneration. That does not satisfy the justice of God. Away with communion salvation. That does not satisfy the justice of Almighty God. Nothing could satisfy the holiness and justice of a righteous God unless the sin debt be paid. And as we sang a while ago, I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in thee mine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Listen, you got to get the debt paid. And the debt is the debt of death. God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And saw the backside of God for the first time in eternity. And Jesus had his fellowship with the Father broken for the first time. What was he doing? He was taking your sin and mine and yours and yours and yours and all of ours and all the sins of all the whole world. And he was placing those on his account. And he then stood as a drunkard before God and as a harlot before God. And as a thief before God, and as a liar before God, and God the Father looked at his own precious Son and said, guilty! God saw him as a sinner. And he who was perfect became imperfect, and he who was righteous became sinful. He who was rich became poor, he who was God became man. Why? So he could pay our sin debt. And now then, since the sin debt is paid, God can look out to sinful man and say, man, I can now take you back. And if I take you back, I can keep my justice too. And I can keep my holiness too. And blessed be God, there's a way that God can have his three great loves restored to him. God must choose. If man's a sinner, God must choose between man or justice and holiness. And God chose justice and holiness. But he said to man, now then, you can come back. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the lower point was pointing toward the hell from whence he saved us, and the top point was pointing to the heaven to which he saved us, and the arms were extended to the east and west, saying, now anybody may come back and be received with the Father, but it must be inside the confinements of the justice of Almighty God. Away with confirmation salvation. Away with baby sprinkling salvation. Away with baptismal regenerational salvation. Away with communion salvation. And 50 cheers for grace salvation. Because by grace and grace alone, when God in his own infinite wisdom provides a plan whereby man can get back to God and justice doesn't have to leave God. And holiness doesn't have to leave God. And now God can receive man back, and blessed be God, there's a way that for eternity, you and justice and holiness and God can live forever in perfect peace. Now, it's all contingent on one thing, and that's man's acceptance. Folks, do you understand how much God loved us? Do you understand how much God loved us? God loved us so much, He would not take us back because He could not have been God if He took us back. If Adam and Eve had gotten back in the Garden of Eden and taken from that tree of life and eaten that tree of life and lived forever, then they would have been living forever without the penalty for sin being paid. I don't care who you are, you're not going to get to heaven until your sin debt's paid.
I was on an airplane. Sat down beside a fellow and I said, sir, what kind of business are you in? He said, I'm an accountant. CPA, certified public accountant. After a while, I started talking to him and I said, could I tell you a wonderful story? And he said, what is it? And I took a piece of paper and I said, I want to talk to you about bookkeeping for a few minutes. I said, I want to put your name up here. What is your name? It was Joe something. I'll just put the word Joe Blow up here. I said, okay, Joel, there's your name. Now, I said, you've got some sins charged against your name in heaven.
I said, Joe, I stole a baseball glove one time when I was a kid. Did you ever steal anything? He said, yes, I did. And so I put stealing there on that piece of paper. I said, Joe, I said a bad word one time when I was a boy. Did you ever say a bad word? He said, yes, I did. And I put cursing on that piece of paper. I said, Joe, I've hated folks before of you. He said, yes, I have. I put hatred on that piece of paper. And I said, now, Joe, we'll let these marks here represent all the other things that you've done and I've done. I said, now, you're an accountant. That's your ledger. But I said, Joe, because you're an accountant, you know this. The books must be balanced. And I said, you can't balance that. Because I said, the price on that is death or hell. And I put the word hell right there. And I said, now there you are. You have a sin, but you never paid it yet, and you'll have to pay it someday. But I said, let me show you another piece of paper in the ledger. I wrote the name Jesus, and this accountant looked at it intently. I wrote the name Jesus up here at the top. And I said, Joe, I said, one time Jesus went to Calvary, and I said he suffered hell. So I put the payment over here and wrote Jesus paid hell. Now, I said, he must have had something he owed. I said, Joe, tell me something bad about Jesus. He said, what? Well, I said, Jesus paid the payment. He must have had the merchandise. I said, tell me something bad about Jesus. And he said, I don't want to think bad about Jesus. And I said, tell me something good about him. He said, love. And I put love. He said, merciful. I put merciful. He said, kind. And I put kind. And we listed a bunch of things about Jesus. And I said, okay, Joe. I said, there's no sin. If there's no debit registered to Jesus, but there's a credit, I said, he doesn't need that credit, does he? Because he has no debit. He said, no. He said, he's got a plus one. I said, yeah, and you got a minus one. I said, you got a credit, no debit. And I said, don't you think it'd be a good idea if you let Jesus transfer his credit to your debit? He doesn't need it. And you got to have it. And I said, you know what he'll do? I said, if you, right now, if you would bow your head on this airplane and look up to God and say, dear God, I trust Jesus as my Savior and put my faith in him as my hope for heaven. I said, God would take your name here off of this bad list and put Jesus' name on this bad list. And God would see Jesus as guilty of stealing and cursing and lying and cheating. And I said, God would take Jesus' record here, which says love and kindness and merciful, and God had put Joe's name up here. And I said, Joe, if you'd receive Christ right now, God would transfer his credit to your debit. And I said, you would have your sin debt paid and your books would be balanced and you could go to heaven and live forever. And I said, Joe, that isn't all. I said, if you did that right now, the moment you put your faith in Christ, God would take your record and tear it up. All those sins God would put behind your back and he'd remember your sins no more. And Joe said, I'm not very smart, but I'm an accountant. I know when that's a good deal. And Joe bowed his head and prayed the sinner's prayer. And God Almighty looked down and saw his justice satisfied because Joe was trusting the payment of Jesus on the cross as his hope for heaven. And we did! Then God was happiest of all. God said, hallelujah. I got man back. I got old Joe back. And I got to keep my justice too. And I got to keep my holiness. This is a strange thing. I've never said it. But you know, God enjoys being God. He likes his job. I've never said that in my life. But God likes his job. He don't want to lose it. And so God, to keep his job as being God, he had to keep his justice. Because he lost his justice, he's lost his holiness. Lose his holiness, he loses his throne. And God is cast off his throne. And man has no hope, but thanks be to God. The old account was settled. Long ago. For God, in his mercy, allowed his Son to come to earth and take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And now then, anybody who will look to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't deserve it. And I'm not coming with my good life, because I tried and can't do that. I'm not coming with the holy water, because that doesn't do any good.
I'm coming with the only thing that'll satisfy the justice of Almighty God and thereby keep Him holy and thereby keep Him God. Jesus, I receive You as my Savior by faith. I'm not trusting what I do but what You did. I'm not trusting my works or what I do or what the church does or what the priest does or what the preacher does or the rabbi does or the pope does. I'm not trusting what anybody does. I'm trusting what Jesus did. And when you trust Him as your Savior, God in heaven claps His hands and says, glory be, glory be, glory be to justice. My justice was satisfied and my holiness is still intact. And I've got man back now and God and man and justice and holiness can live together forever and ever. And ever and ever and ever. And thereby, we find the three great loves of God. Everything is contingent on what you do with it. God wants you back. But God won't take you back, buddy, and lose His justice. Because God would rather have His justice than you. Because the nature of God is justice. The just one. And God would rather have His holiness than you. Because the nature of God is holiness. And God said, okay, man is gone. I've got a choice. I can take man back, lose both of you, or keep both of you and lose man. Or I can think of some plan whereby, if man will just come to me by faith, I can have you justice and you holiness and you man. Somebody ought to write a song. Somebody ought to write a great song of the faith about the plan of God. The plan of God. Somebody ought to write a song comparable to "My Faith Looks Up to Thee, O Lamb of Calvary." Or somebody ought to write a song comparable to "Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me Over Life's Tempestuous Sea," about the mighty, amazing plan of God, whereby God Almighty could keep His justice and keep His holiness and receive man back to Himself. That's a marvelous plan, folks. It's the only plan that God can have through which He can take you back and have anything to offer you when He receives you back. Father, bless the message.